Blog Talk Radio.
I'm on Facebook now.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up to Spirit. We are just a hair late this morning. I am here with my friend and special guest, Nancy Lombardo. So love the shirt, by the way. Good vibes.
Thank you. Positive.
That's kind of perfect for everything. So Nancy is almost within eye shot of where I live. And
I can look out my window and see your house.
Yes. the joy of small communities. So we have a little bit of construction going on as all the Lilydale shows have dealt with construction going on in the last couple of months here. Our town is under, is getting some much needed infrastructure work done, new water lines, new gas lines for the entire town, which is quite a feat, as you might imagine. So we've got the public works, and then we've got the private hookups in the houses, which is a whole nother thing. So we are doing our best. And so that's why we're just a little bit late. If you hear construction noise in the background, that's what's going on. The workers have been very nice. I went out and said, hey, you know, you tend to be in front of my house every Thursday. It is a running joke in my household that it is every Thursday because that is also garbage pickup. And it's like, could you just not use the digger, like, right in front of the house today? That would be, and they were very, very kind. So score one for that.
kind and went two doors down.
Yes. Yes, they did. But they are not right in front of the house. So that is, I'll take it as a win. So today, Nancy has been kind enough to come on the show and talk to us. It is Women's History Month, of course. We are right here in March. I've been interviewing people about women's history topics. And Nancy is the current Church of the Living Spirit president. You are, of course, one of the ministers as well, but I was trying to call you a pastor instead of a president. I don't know. Sorry about that. We know who you are. It's okay. So she's been kind enough to come on and talk a little bit about her love of history with spiritualism. And have you just always been kind of a history buff, or how did you kind of get into this?
Okay. Let's get the record straight. Okay. Nancy has never been a history buff.
Okay.
Never.
This is the right place to set the record straight.
I didn't even do good in high school with history. It was probably one of my worst subjects. You are the history buff, my friend. I mean, you're amazing. I hear you talk. You know, I've heard you talk many times, and you just, like, oh, my gosh, you're just so, you're so good. You're so well versed. I did do some research, so yay. I didn't know a whole lot about Lilydale besides the fact that I lived 20 minutes from here, you know, growing up my entire life.
Oh, wow, okay.
So in Jamestown, I didn't know a lot about Lilydale until I actually moved into Lilydale.
That happened. And then
I tell everybody, you know, in my 4 years of living here, you know, going from nothing to president of the church, I have been a sponge of knowledge.
Yeah. That's, I don't think you could do it as successfully as you've been doing it unless you were willing to kind of take that energy in. So that's big, you know? Some people are very information resistant, and they would not do well in our community at all. I think so.
I mean, I never even had a clue about the women's suffrage or how important that was in this area, and I'm so proud because I consider myself a, you know, a person that was in the initial things, being a woman, a member of the Women's Army Corps, you know, the very last female to go through the military before it integrated with men, being a female police officer when there weren't a whole lot of female police officers. So I like the fact that I'm here where there's such rich history of women. It was fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Well, you've been living the work. So
yeah, totally. Yeah.
That's huge. Yeah.
I think that's maybe a reason why so many strong women are drawn here also without even realizing it.
Exactly. Yeah. I like to tell stories about Lilydale because we were included from the jump, from the very beginning. The first speaker in Lilydale was a woman. The first, you know, some of the first board members, when a board of directors formed, women. And, you know, when it came to clearing the fields to put the houses up, women worked right alongside the men. And so much so that I gave...
Fire department.
The fire department, yeah. I don't know that women were officially on the fire department, but are you talking about the, like...
Yeah, the pictures where they were there with the buckets.
Yeah.
The line of buckets and literally putting out supply. I think they had a big, huge fire actually on the street you were at where several houses burned down.
Yeah.
And the women were right there in the pictures with the men side by side.
Yeah, they were part of the... So Victorian Housing Code, the houses are this far apart. If a neighbor asked me, you know, to borrow something, we could toss it from one window to another and achieve that successfully, you know, throw a basket line over. very easy. I want to say that was, because we had a few big fires in the town, but the one that you're talking about, I want to say it was the end of the, like, late 1800s, like 1890s, something like that. And we already had permanent houses on the streets. And the men came and they were doing the bucket brigade. The women were credited in the newspaper as having been the ones who brought their rugs soaked in water and things to actually put over and extinguish the sources of the flame rather than trying to haul water from the lake.
You're going to say they were credited with bringing lunch or something. That would have probably been what they would have been accredited with at the time.
At the time, I could totally see that happening. There was a lovely fire on First Street that knocked out 7 houses. And it was catered by Mrs. Bartlow, you know?
Right. Totally. Yeah.
That feels right, historic, you know, like for the writing of the day. But no, they were credited for really being, you know, climbing the ladders in their skirts and bringing their rugs and really helping to extinguish those fires. It couldn't have happened otherwise. So. I think we would still have a Lilydale, but some of the houses would be less historic than they are now.
Right, right.
So, oh, crazy.
So you were asking me to pick a couple women that I wanted to talk about.
Yes, please.
And when I first got here in Lilydale, of course, one of the first places I went to before I even bought a house was the Maplewood. Because, you know, I had to spend the night at the Maplewood and see what happened and what, you know, the whole, all that, what moved around. But what initially caught my attention at the Maplewood was the painting that you're going to the exhibit at.
Yeah.
Not that one, the one of President Lincoln.
President, yes, which was, I now can't remember if that was the... Do you happen to know, was that the Bang sisters or the Campbell brothers?
I want to say, See, I was going to say the Campbell brothers, but now I don't
know.
No,
I trust you. I trust you. Because I got in my own head just now. So Campbell brothers. Yeah.
First of all, I wasn't even aware of that kind of talent, if you want, per se. So I read the whole thing,
yeah.
You know, and I had no earthly idea about any of that. Hence my bad history. But what caught my attention was the story of Mary Todd Lincoln. And so I was fascinated by it. Whoever knew that there were seances in the White House?
Yeah.
I was like, wow, you know, that you would never have ever heard anything like that.
Yeah.
So it sparked my curiosity. And in getting ready to talk to you about this today, I did a deep dive, you know, the detective in me.
It's not, yeah, you definitely know how to research as a detective.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do. So I did that, and I found some really cool stuff. And I'm sure you know a lot about Mary Todd.
I feel like I do, but tell our audience. I mean, okay. Most people just know her as the First Lady, as being married to Abe Lincoln. Most people, and I will kind of leave it at that. So I'll let you fill in the story.
Well, she was born December 13th. That's one of my favorite numbers. I love 13. 1818, and lived to the ripe age of 63 years old, where she died of a stroke. Mm-hmm. These quotes are just mind-boggling to me. Mary was one of the most unpopular first ladies in American history. What a horrible title to say, one of the most unpopular. She was actually born and raised in Kentucky. Her mother died at the age of 5. So think about that, just having your mother die at the age of 5, which caused her for her entire life to be very depressed,
yeah.
Mood swings, all the stuff that we recognize today that was never recognized back then, never.
Yeah.
Her dad quickly married another woman. They originally had 6 kids. She was one of 6.
Mm-hmm.
Her dad married another woman where they ended up having 9 more kids. Yeah. And the dreaded stepmother story. So she was lost in the mix of that.
Oh,
but then
she
tells the dreaded stepmother story,
yeah.
Where the stepmother appeared to have liked her regular kids more than she did the stepkids, that whole scenario. Mary Todd, I love this. They said she was very short lady, 5'2".
Mm-hmm.
She was a plump lady. And many times I know when they put her together with the president, they said it was such a mismatch because he was tall and lanky and she was short and round, and it was just a political match. It had nothing to do with love or any of that. But she was very well known to be warm-hearted, and she was described as having clear blue eyes and long lashes and a beautiful complexion. But I like the part that they said she was an excellent conversationalist and ambitious and rarely kept her thoughts hidden. Woman of my dreams.
Yeah.
She left me all the way. And she spoke her mind freely in a time when women were very discouraged to do so.
Quite. Yeah. You were to be a good hostess, but to keep the conversation flowing, but not have an opinion. Imagine. So that, yeah, I mean, I think anybody, male or female, who takes on, you know, a political position like that has to be very strong. You know, I think to have that support system in place, because if your spouse says, I really don't want you to be president, they could find ways of really ruining that, you know, so.
And she was extremely intelligent.
Yeah.
And she was a driving force behind him, totally. But she had such a bad reputation. She was not liked at all. And they said that when she was even at the White House, she had extravagant spending behaviors, you know, lavish spending, major episodes of highs and lows, migraine headaches. Okay, what do we call that today? We call that bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously,
yeah,
all those
exactly.
things, that's the kind of personality they would call that nowadays, but they didn't recognize it back then as that at all.
No. Yeah. So,
during that time, she lost not only one son, but she lost two sons.
Yeah.
So put together, she lost her mother at a very young age, and then she lost two sons. And I don't have kids. I know you don't have kids, but
right.
I know it is probably the worst loss you can ever suffer. You never want to die. You never want your kids to die before you.
Right. Exactly. That's life-changing. But think about at that time, you know, before just normal diseases, normal, a lot more people died even just of the flu at that time, or, you know, or contaminated water because nothing was, or bad food because there was no refrigeration, you know. So a lot of, I think it's been theorized quite a bit that and the Civil War are part of the reason that spiritualism, you know, really took off at that time.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean,
yeah.
Absolutely. They said back in the 1850s to 1860s, 10% of the American free adult population were involved in one way, shape, or form with spiritualism.
Yeah.
Because of the soldiers dying. And she happened to be one of those people that got involved. Her son, the last son, died at the age 11 of typhoid fever. And that's so young. That's horrible. So it was not only that, she initially started to do the seances to try to make contact with her son.
Yeah.
Nowadays, how many people seek out mediums to make contact, not only with their children, but with any lost loved ones, just to try to communicate?
And it's so common that, you know, as a medium that you get a lot of older people that come in because they are the ones in spirit. You know, and that's what a blessing that is, that we sort of take for granted. I did a public event last week that was all mothers who had lost their son. And there were like 9 mediums. It was all over Zoom. And we each had at least 70 people in our breakout room.
So if you can imagine
like 500 grieving moms, just to open the link on Zoom at that time, it was like getting hit with a wall of grief and going, okay, all right. And then you got a center, you know. But that's, you can imagine that would be the atmosphere in the public in general at that time. You know, anytime you go somewhere and it's just, you know, but as a vet, as somebody who served, you probably know a lot more about that than I have personally experienced, you know. So you got it right up front. I get the aftermath. So,
but the aftermath's deep, you know.
It can be.
You help in that way for sure.
Yeah.
But that was why she initially started the seances. It was, you said the word exactly. They said it in all the histories. She was trying to cope with her own grief.
Yeah.
And she just didn't know how.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it went all the way back to her mother. She just couldn't deal with her grief and her loss. And then to lose one son and then a second son at 11.
Yeah.
And then to have your husband assassinated right beside you. I mean, right beside you.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of trauma. A little bit.
That's horrific trauma.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes into a tailspin where she ends up 40 days, they said, in the White House, couldn't even get out of bed.
Yeah.
And they were like, hurry up, get up, you know, the next president has to get here and move in here, and you need to hurry up and be done with this. And she couldn't force herself to go to the funeral. She couldn't force herself to do anything because she was just overcome with grief.
Yeah.
But back then, that was considered disrespectful. It was like, put your big panties on and get back out there again to the public eye. Don't let your grief be shown.
Right.
Don't let your depression be shown. And certainly don't try to communicate with the dead to see if you can talk to your husband or your sons. Certainly don't do that.
Yeah. What a non-respectable thing to do. much harder. We had it much easier. Everybody that has come before us that has built that understanding that the relationships don't go away has really done us a service. Average people. So that's, I don't want to, it's so important to talk about that, but I also want to slide in the mention that some of those seances at the White House were not just about the Lincoln's children. So
I didn't phrase it. Go ahead.
Do you want to talk about it?
Well, I just know that they had as many as 8 seances in the White House, specifically in the Red Room of the White House. They didn't really say what you were saying, so you're going to have to educate me on that.
Okay, so there were there's firsthand accounts of multiple mediums having done seances in the White House. A lot of physical work. There's an account of a physical medium who was went into trance and was playing the piano, which she did not know how to play the piano. And the piano started to get up and move around the room. And she was following it and playing as she went.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't see that.
Which, pianos are not light. So for them to levitate and move on their own is pretty interesting. I know that's kind of a salacious story, but very interesting at the same time. There were a lot of mediums who were given employment by the government so that they could stay in Washington and be on hand to give seances and do basically because they were going into trance, they were trusted. And that's sort of the crux of how women's rights and spiritualism came together in my mind, because we weren't speaking for ourselves. So you don't just listen to a lowly woman, but you'll listen to grandma who passed, or you'll listen to your dad who's in spirit, or you will listen to the wise counsel of a deceased general to help talk about what should be done to win the war. And that's what happened. So there were seances that happened in the White House with the Lincoln and his generals. And there were seances that happened in the homes of influential people in Washington that were allies of the Lincolns. So he regularly conferred with the spirits in order.
Yes.
And so it played a part in American history in a big way.
In a big way.
Yeah.
But from my understanding of what I've read and researched, that didn't ever come out. It was always put on her.
Yeah.
It was always put on her and being eccentric and misunderstood. And she was highly criticized for all of this.
Oh, yeah.
Highly criticized for every bit of it.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he was definitely involved behind the scenes for sure.
Most definitely. But that's sort of the way. I mean, it's like, blame it on my crazy wife.
And another exact quote that I found just fascinating, deemed improper and unladylike.
Yeah.
Words like that nowadays, just like, I'm like, seriously? Unladylike and improper. Display of grief over the president's assassination. Just horrible to be ridiculed like that. I mean, honestly, she was so bullied. She was just so bullied in her day of true grief and true wanting to further understand what was going on, life, what's life all about? Where do we go at?
Yeah.
What happens?
I was just sitting here thinking that I don't know if it was any better for Jacqueline Kennedy after.
You're probably right. Yeah.
I think that the public sort of put her into a box of what they expected. And that's the thing. I mean, grief looks like different things for different experiences and different people. And that's something that we have to remember, you know? So, yeah, very, very interesting. I'm just checking the comments on Facebook right now.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm looking to see, you know, where they're, and I did put up the number if somebody had a historical question for us, but there was one question about whether there were more female mediums than male mediums.
Do you know the answer to that?
I feel like there were more, but I don't have, I can't say that I have the research knowledge to back that up.
Yeah.
Certainly there were a lot of well-known and popular male mediums at that time. Both physical, trance, and mental mediumship. And I think some of the most famous mediums over the years have been men. And I don't know if that's just because they get more press, like we're prone to pay attention to them more.
Right.
I don't know. But I do know that a lot of women, you know, were on the road doing mediumship work, which was sort of unheard of, you know. So
speaking of unheard of, I think not the best part of the story, but the most interesting part of her story was the fact that after she left the White House, she couldn't decide where she wanted to go, and she started traveling. She'd gone to Chicago. She couldn't decide she wanted to go back to Springfield, where her family was at. Her son, Robert, I guess never agreed with any of this, and started having her followed everywhere she was going, and actually hired somebody to follow her, and they were keeping track of the meetings she was having with mediums and spiritualists, documenting it. They started questioning all the doctors, everybody she was talking to. He ended up charging. He went out and got a warrant. I don't even know how he did this, for lunacy.
Yeah.
The word itself just, I was like, huh?
Yeah.
And not only did he get a warrant for her, they knocked on her door and they arrested her for lunacy because of the fact that basically that she was talking to mediums and spiritualists and believed in the continuity of life.
Yeah.
And I find that just insane that they even had that kind of charge back then, especially being a former police officer, that they actually had a trial that lasted 10 minutes. The trial lasted 10 minutes before they found her guilty, automatically guilty, in 10-minute trial. And she actually had to be put in a sanitarium for a short period. He had her put in a sanitarium for a short period of time.
Yeah.
And her, I love her exact quote she said right after the trial when they found her insane, basically. She said, "You mean to say I am crazy? I am much obliged to you, but I am abundantly able to take care of myself." That doesn't sound like a lady that was lunatic.
No. I'm sitting here thinking, how much should I say? Because we have to have the understanding that women were not considered autonomous at that time. She was technically the property of her son. She was under her son's care legally from the minute her husband died, because he was her male next of kin that was of age. So, you know, if your kid's a brat, but he's 21 or older, you're in trouble.
She automatically knew that it was him that it did all this. I mean, she right off the bat, like, where's Robert? I know he's responsible for this. And he was. And he was.
The other thing is, this happened to women well up until the 1970s, that they could be committed for disagreeing with their husbands. And I know of some cases of female mediums who were actually thrown into asylums And they said, well, you're communicating with the dead, so you must be schizophrenic. And that happened as late as the 70s.
Wow. I didn't know it was that early. I consider yeah. that 1970s. That's crazy.
That's recent. I mean, I was
that's very recent. Yeah.
yeah.
We're talking about the 1800s here.
Yeah.
And the fact that that continued that long.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
that's incredible. In all honesty, that's
so,
incredible.
Yeah. I mean, we're still chipping away so that we have the, you know, we don't totally have equal rights yet. But we're pretty, I mean, it feels pretty close, but, legally, we still don't have all of the protections. So now I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, but I don't care. There you go. So,
I think me and you are allowed to talk this way because number one, we're females.
Yeah.
Number two, we have fought major battles, you as a medium, me as a female in unconventional male roles, so
mm-hmm.
to say, throughout
yeah.
my entire career. I fought this battle my entire career.
Yeah.
Being female, fighting for every little thing I had to get, every little
yeah.
position I had to get.
Yeah.
I got passed over for promotions, even though I tested number one, I got passed over for males, what, 6 times?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just bam, bam, you know, getting pounded.
Yeah.
Pound, pound, pound. Because of a thing. No other reason. I can say that, and I will say it.
Yeah.
And it's true, because it's just true.
Yeah.
So they said that Mary, and I like this, definitely was condemned for being ahead of her time. And I like that statement, because that's just such a true statement.
Yeah.
You get condemned for thinking, for being smart, for thinking out of the box.
Yeah. I feel like the last 4 years, and I think because of the push to celebrate women with the centennial of us having the vote, has kind of really brought out, you know, we were able to celebrate female scientists and female artists and, you know, people that were sort of forgotten by history. And the fact that spiritualism has ordained women from the beginning has given us a voice that we were, you know, able to hold positions of leadership. That's so, I'm fighting to not have that history forgotten again.
And you're doing such an excellent job.
So,
I mean, seriously, you're such a face for this, and especially a face to talk of the history just here in Lilydale. You've really become that for us. And I appreciate that.
No,
sure.
Well, thanks. I mean, it's not just me, though. I mean, there's so many of us. Mary McNamara, who's not even part of the Women's Day Committee, has done just so much research. It's not even funny. Like, she's been so helpful. and then we have the other 5 ladies on the Women's Day Committee and the women that were part of it before and dropped out but still have some things to do with us. And you know, because schedules. But I mean, it's been fun. It's been a blast. So,
I just wanted to make a side note to end the story of Mary Todd. But
sure.
Sadly, after she died, she had actually cut her son out of the will.
Yeah.
But guess what? The son ended up somehow getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of some kind of, I don't even know how it happened, but even though she said no, he was the only survivor, or however it worked out, because he was, I think, like you said, the caretaker of her, he ended up getting it.
Yeah.
Whatever she had left, I don't think she had much left at her time. She had to fight for the money she got because they kept cutting it back. They ended up giving her like back pay from her White House days, and she never saw a penny of that. And he ended up getting her money, even though he did all this to her, sadly.
Yeah.
But I know she wasn't liked. I know she took a hard hit. But in my opinion and in researching her, I think she was just highly misunderstood.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think she had good intentions. Was she an eccentric lady? 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
Did she do things out of the box? She absolutely did.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make her crazy, and that doesn't make her insane, and she shouldn't be the most unpopular lady in the White House because she didn't do the norm of things.
Yeah, just, well, anytime a woman is seen as historically a first lady that speaks out or, you know, doesn't just stand slightly behind and to the left is considered outrageous. So, speaking of, there was a question about Nancy Reagan having a spiritual medium in the White House. I know that she consulted astrologers. I do not know if she consulted with mediums specifically, but there were seances after Lincoln in the White House, most definitely. And much less public, you know, because we sort of moved from the big seances to the private readings. So,
well, I believe our medium, Ann Gaiman, was specifically a medium to some very important people.
Yes, she was.
Ann
definitely has served with heads of state and royalty all over the world. So yeah, it does happen. And, you know, you just, as a professional, you just kind of go, yeah, I can't talk about my clients. So
I think that's why it's so important, the integrity of mediumship too.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, me and you have seen it. There's bad mediums, there's good mediums for sure, but to keep the integrity of what it is, true mediumship. And we do know it is possible. We know, we believe that it's part of our religion. We've seen it work. You're a registered medium. So, but back in those days, I'm sure, you know, there were falsities for sure, which maybe gave it a bad reputation and a bad name. But in saying that, I would be curious to know what mediums, they never said what mediums or spiritualists she met with specifically. Do you know that answer? I don't know that answer.
I have a whole list somewhere. There is actually a book written by Irene McGarvey, who is now in spirit. Oh, no, not Irene McGarvey. Although she's excellent. If you can Amazon her, she wrote a book called The Plot to Kill Susan B. Anthony, which there actually was no plot to kill Susan B. Anthony. That's the, it's a kind of the point of the title. It's a whole thing, but it's a very good historical context book and a really great read. Oh my goodness. The people that used to own the Hastings house, William, I'll think of it, but there's a book called Seances in Washington that is very well researched and very well written by one of Lilydale's own, who is now in spirit. And I have it on my bookshelf or in a box because I'm moving. I will put that in the comments later. So sorry about that, guys. But the title definitely is Seances in Washington, and it is an excellent book. I highly recommend
it. My hope is that she actually was able to find some kind of communication with her son or her husband. I hope that really happened and truly happened for her, and that she was able to find some calm in all of her grief.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's all about when you give your messages to someone, you know, to calm them down, to let them know it's okay.
Yeah.
That we live on.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's the point. I mean, no matter who you are, you've had these life experiences and you've had these, interactions with people that you love and you care about, and you want those relationships to continue. And they always do, you know, so, whether you see a medium or not, you can talk to them and they hear you. So,
1,000%.
Yeah.
Well, that was my story. I married Todd Lincoln.
That is fantastic. Okay. And I know, I'm so sorry because that I kept interrupting you. So we had not go as fast as we wanted.
No.
But,
I love your feedback. And yeah, you're a lot more knowledgeable than I am.
So who else do you want to talk about today?
Well, as your Women's Day Committee, I don't even know what was pre-COVID. When did you guys start the tour that we did?
The Herstory tour, I believe, was 2018 or 2019, because it was, you're right, it was definitely pre-COVID. I'm pretty sure it was 2018, actually.
So I don't know who it was in the committee, if it was you or that. They hit me up like, hey, Nancy, do you want to play Flo Cottrell? And I was like, who's Flo Cottrell? I don't know. I don't act. and it was kind of out of my wheelhouse and out of my comfort zone, I'll say that. But by God, I bought a dress and I bought a hat and I went and stood in front of where the Fox Cottage stood, and I played the character of Flo Cottrell. So I was able to do some research of Flo at the time. So I thought we'd talk just a tad about Flo.
I think that would put us right in the flow of conversation.
I like that. Yeah. The flow, the natural flow. So Flo, I had this all memorized. Now I have to go back because that's been a while. But
that's okay.
She was born in Holland, New York in 1884. She had an aunt and uncle that were very interested in spiritualism. And they're the ones that originally, what they used to do is have table tipping. So they would do table tipping, which was a big thing, seances. And at a very young age, she was into the table tipping. And she would put her fingers on the table. And by doing that, she was soon feeling and hearing rapping sounds. Just as, for people that don't know the Fox Sisters, that was their original form of communication through raps and taps, sounds. And they ended up coming here actually to Lilydale, where they stayed at the Maplewood. And at the Maplewood, she actually heard these raps. They had a seance there and the same type. And she also built the communication of the rapping, you know, one meaning yes, two meaning no, that whole scenario. This all happened before she ever knew about the Fox Sisters and the story of the peddler that lived in the basement. And she soon put that all together and they figured out what it was. She began demonstrating. She began being a very influential and good medium, traveled all over the United States, serving 50 years as a medium. And she actually was the caretaker of the Fox Cottage that was here on the Lilydale. It was not the original Fox Cottage, my guess?
I actually am slightly confused about that. We know that the Fox Cottage burned down twice. Now, my understanding was that the original Fox Cottage was dismantled in Hydesville and reconstructed here in Lilydale and burned down and then reconstructed and then burned down again. So what's in Hydesville, if you go there, is actually the foundation of the cottage where they found the peddler's bones.
Okay.
And
I've seen that because I've been there.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, and Hydesville Day is actually coming up next week. It is the only spiritualist holiday. And it's March 31st every year, which is the anniversary of when the Fox Sisters heard the knocking and began communication with the peddler.
I've always been a little confused about that because
even though
there was another one, it was an exact replica,
right,
to my understanding. Exact replica, and that did in fact burn down to the ground.
Yeah.
Still unknown how it burned or why it burned in 1955.
Right. Yeah, and Flo was at that time the caretaker.
She spent her summers here. She gave tours, and people actually witnessed and heard the rappings. They heard it with their own ears. They did stories on it. you can look up the stories that were actually written in newspapers. So it's really fascinating. And, you know, she had a care and a love and made it like that. That was her thing to do, and she did a great job at it.
She was a very interesting figure because there was some research on her, specifically because she was out doing work in the public
yes.
and demonstrating. And otherwise...
She was actually used like as a guinea pig, so to say, where they did the good old scientific testing again,
yes.
Which I know she's not the only one, but it's just
yeah.
awful that they made them go through that kind of, you know, just like they did with the Fox sisters. They were put through all those rigorous testing because the naysayers and the non-believers.
The Fox sisters really went through some very, very traumatic trials to prove that they were actually communicating with the dead. And
yeah.
Alcoholism ran in that family. Unfortunately, their father was not always, you know, sometimes in the throes of addiction, I want to say, which, you know, we recognize as having physiological component. We see the complexities today that we would not have recognized in the 1800s, you know. In the 1800s, it was very much like, well, if you can't have control over yourself, then, you know, you're just, there's something wrong with you. You know, it's a moral failing.
Right.
Unfortunately, both the girls being essentially made into child stars, put on tour by their sister, Leah, who acted as their manager, they were stripped naked and tested. They were, mm-hmm. I mean, and if you think about the social mores of the Victorian era, and you don't even show your, you know, your clavicle before 5 p.m., you know, and then, you know, your ankles must be covered at all times. I mean, it's a very, still very puritanical at that time. So the humiliation and both of them eventually turned to we say in the spirit rooms of Lilydale in the Women's Day movie, a proclivity for wine.
I like that word.
Yeah. When we got that back from the script writer, we were like, she really classed the story up. I like it. We were very impressed. So good thing we gave it to a professional to write. But some of the trials, like, it's slightly off topic, but Edgar Cayce stopped allowing people to test him because he was in trance and he was deep in trance, and somebody actually, they would burn him with matches or cigarettes. They pulled out his nails to see if he would react because they figured he was faking. And, you know, anytime you're in a deep, deep state of hypnosis, which is basically what trance is, you know, you're not going to.
Exactly, yes. Uh-huh.
But he sure felt it when he came to, you
know. That's terrific.
And the Fox sisters were conscious the whole time. So, you know, that's.
And the fact that they actually found a dead body, you know, buried, so
yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. And unfortunately, not until after the Fox sisters had actually passed. Did they
right,
find
right,
it's like
yeah.
40 years later, they found the false wall in the basement because the house was still there at that point. So what I find.
I kind of compare Flo a little bit. She comes across to me as another lady that was quite eccentric, but very strong,
yeah.
Very stern. You see the pictures of her, you know, she doesn't really have a soft look to her. She's got that little bit of a hard, like she had a hard life. But she, at the time, was considered one of the greatest mediums of her time. So she does play a role in history. She did play an important part here in Lilydale, just in taking care of the Fox cottages and taking such pride in it.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was able to communicate the same way the Fox sisters did, I mean, that was crazy the way that played itself out, that was able to continue. And
yeah.
It's not... like she was making it up because there were witnesses to it. So I think she's a very interesting character. I like the fact that I got to play her, even though I wasn't, didn't even know who she was. She died at the age of 78. She went back to New York, and she even made the comment that during her time, she did see small steps being made towards, you know, with females.
Yeah.
She didn't get to see it in full fruition, but, you know, she saw small steps.
Yeah.
And she was part of those small steps.
I think each one of us is going to end our lives saying that the progress we've made, you know, and it's possible that, you know, the generation under us will see, you know, fully realized, wouldn't surprise me, especially with the strongest these kids are coming up. I'll tell you.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. They're strong. They're resilient.
Yeah.
They're fearless.
Yeah.
And they speak out without hesitation.
What cracks me up too is like working with some of the generation under me, because I'm 40, people in their 20s and 30s, they have boundaries that my generation could never would have dreamed a reality. No, you're not going to work me to death and not pay me anything. Wow. Good for you. I mean, it's really, how dare you take me for granted? How dare you tell me I'm not allowed because I'm a woman?
I love being an athlete. I love all the female athletes that are coming forward demanding to be paid the exact same. Why shouldn't they be?
Yes,
why
exactly.
Why should they not be the same money as men?
Oh, my goodness.
They should have been the entire time.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's really, I feel very, very hopeful for them. So, yeah. Well, Nancy, because I have talked your ear off.
It's been so fun, though.
We have about 2 minutes left. Would you like to come back next week and finish out Women's History Month with me?
I know, we've just been yabbering away.
I know,
we?
It's been so fun.
Been fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy talking to you, and
great.
I enjoy living in a community where there is a strong group of females. We all get along pretty well, and
yeah.
It's okay if we agree to disagree, because it's all about learning and it's all about moving forward.
Yeah, that's how
and doing it together.
That's how things come together. Cooperation.
Thanks so much, Celeste.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Please come back. Actually, come back next week if you want to, if you're free, but otherwise come back anytime. And anything you'd like to plug or talk about before we head out for today?
Check out my wellness site, Wellness with Nancy Lombardo, wellnesswithnancylombardo.com. It's a whole thing, so. Body and spirit.
Fantastic. Yes. And I'm, by the way, for anybody who is on the Lilydale Facebook page or the Lilydale Instagram, you should know that 90% of the photos that are posted, probably 98% of the photos that are posted, all the beautiful work that's been coming out the last year is from this lady right here. It's from Nancy.
Thank you
very, very much.
I truly enjoy it. I have found a knack for it, for sure, and I like promoting Lilydale.
Fabulous.
So,
thank you so much. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for now. I will say check out churchofpeace.org for Hydesville Day events that are being broadcast throughout the day, including Women's Day at 6 p.m., just getting that little plug in. And until next time, we are wishing you a good day and good vibes. That's usually when the music starts again, but that's okay.
Are you off?
We are done with the live stream. So we're safe. We're clear.
It actually got quiet.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah, I was just like, thank God. Yeah, it got quiet. So I was like, oh.
They actually did move. God bless them.
Yeah, they did. I just need to go out there and make sure. I don't know what they were going to do. I need to make sure they're keeping my meter where it was at, because I've already had quotes and I'm not moving it. The place they wanted to move it to was over by where my rocks are at, by that big stump, which is farther digging. They're like, well, it's a straighter shot. and without, you know, without lines, without everything. I don't care. It's further digging, which means they go by is how far they're digging, which means more money. So just leave it where it's at and we'll figure it out. I mean, just whatever. Let's just get this done. I'm at that point that let's just get this done. Even putting it in front of my house, because my water lines are in the back of my house, they'd have to come all the way down to the driveway, which is still the same amount of digging.
So to get into my house on 4th Street.
That's got to be a disaster.
They tore up the driveway.
Oh.
Because they put the meter on the far side of the driveway, basically on Ruther's property, and kind of came at a line, so across the driveway, and then dug up down the driveway to the very back of the house.
All the way to the back of the house?
Now, the water line is on the other side.
Oh, my God.
So they couldn't finish up the connection yesterday because they couldn't figure out where the original water line came in to do the tie-in. And they were like, well, if we tie it in this way, we're going to lose the downstairs powder room and the upstairs bathroom. And I was like, I'm going to just have to say to Sharon, please take this house back because I can't. I was like, there's no way. There's no way I'm living without a bathroom upstairs. Like, first off, I pee every 5 minutes, so that's not going to work. There has to be excess. And second, like, seriously, you know, so they finally figured it out, so they're going to come back on Monday. But that explains it, though, if they're charging by how far they're digging.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they wouldn't come across the front of the house and down to the original line.
They're going by foot of digging. And that's what that guy's like. I mean, he's like, well, we're going to have to tear up your whole driveway. Well, one side of my driveway has already been tore up from the gas lines. They will come back and fix. And I'm like, no. I was like, I'd rather just the backyard, even though Charlene's property, I mean, it's that leeway, which Willa said is kind of like our property. It's not really anybody's property. So I'd rather be behind my house than once again in front of my house. I'll pay money, whatever. Let's just get it done. I'm so done.
Yeah.
Go down and talk and bitch to Joanne Mansfield yesterday, though. I just told her it's just not fair. You know, everybody was told $1,500 to $2,000. Nobody's paying that.
Yeah.
Everybody has been blindsided by this kind of money, and it's just insane. It was so unplanned, so horribly planned.
Because we all thought he was coming in to do everybody's as a company, and if you wanted to opt out, you could. Yes. And we thought it was going to be super organized and like house to house and, you know, how disappointing.
Yeah. And I told her, I just want you to understand that it's not just a couple people that's paying a lot of money. It's a lot of people
A
lot of money. It's everybody. Yeah. She goes, well, what's the solution? What's the solution? It's too late now. Should have been a solution before we started all this is what there should have been. And then how about you could have given us a break on our assessments, knowing that people are going to have to dish this kind of money out. You know, I mean, just all sorts of things.
Rizzo
and then she told me yesterday that I don't know if you've heard this, off the record, that they've been hit with a humongous tax bill.
Yeah, I'm aware of that because of the last asshole.
Yep, a humongous tax bill that they're going to have to come up with the money and it'll be brought up at the meeting. And guess where that's probably going to have to come from? It's like, oh, my God, is this ever going to stop?
My dumb butt only put aside $700 for my line hookup. So I'm like, well, I guess
That's what Willa's like. She goes, I planned on like $1,200. She goes, I didn't plan on $1,000 more than that. You know,
thing is, I should have a really easy one, where they should dig up the driveway, go straight through, and he's like, oh, it's going to be really hard. It's going to be really hard because you don't have the...
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, you want to do it the hard way, though, instead of going through right into the basement.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one that's trying to make it harder than it is, so...
Is that Rizzo? He's going around telling everybody that now. Oh, this is really, that's what he told me in my house. You got one of the bad houses. Really? Do I really? And it's just that female thing. I feel it with all my heart. It's the female thing.
Yeah, well, a crook is a crook is a crook.
Yep, and he has found it, and he knows we're all backed into a corner. And, yeah, I'm not using him.
I want to call other people, which I need to do today. So, all right.
Anyways, this was fun. Did I do okay with Mary Todd?
You did amazing. This was probably the best episode all month.
Oh,
so,
you're so cute.
Thank you.
I really found her fascinating. I found her, and what they did to her was atrocious, just atrocious. And she can never take back her name in history.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
The thing that's disgusting is historically when they put people in asylums, they treated, you know, they tortured them. They didn't help them. They didn't know. They didn't know anything.
Well, the bad thing that I did not touch base on, and I'm sure you know, is the fact that her family had slaves.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Every one of her family had their own slaves. But she was actually against slavery and against all of that. But I'm like, I'm not even touching slavery talk.
Well, as two
white females, I'm not going there. Because me and you would probably get criticized for talk. What do we know about slavery? And what do we know about that? And
yeah. Well, the other thing is, did you know that Lincoln wasn't white?
Yes, I did know that. Yes.
It's never spoken about.
Yes. No, because they don't. Yeah, it's never spoken about. I don't know what percent. It's a very small percentage that he's not white. But yeah, I know he's not white.
Yeah. Well, because he comes. God, I can't remember the genetic group. I mean, it's so significant. They call it the lost tribe of Appalachia because of where he came from. And they were considered, all the newspapers refer to them as triracial because they were native, black, and white. And they lived in, I mean, there were very specific communities that formed. And so he genetically and socially came out of that culture. Just not talked about at all. And it's crazy. Like, why not?
you know? Especially now. Why not now?
Especially now. Yeah.
Yeah, especially now for sure. So, yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
But there was a congressman like last week that stood on the floor and in his state and talked about how it was a mistake that to rule on a federal level that interracial marriage should be permissible, that it should be a state's right so that states could ban it if they wanted to.
Wow, what?
Yeah.
That's craziness.
That was last week.
Like, wow, no, that's
what
crazy.
What's wrong with people?
People, that's insanity for sure.
Too much.
All right, I'll let you go. Right. Let me know what you decide for next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. If you're willing, I definitely want you. So it's up to you if you have the time.
Yeah, it was fun. I like talking with you. I forgot we were even live. We were just having a conversation.
Yeah. We're just chatty.
Just chatting away.
Cool.
All right, take care. I'll see you later.
All right, sounds good.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye.